You're very welcome to the next in our series of podcasts. My name is Martin Walsh and I'm Daon's Chief Legal Counsel. And today I'm sitting with my boss, Tom Grissen, who is CEO of Daon, sitting here in the sunny capital of the US, Washington, D.C. So, Tom, thanks for taking the time to chat with us today on this topic. And I hope you're not expecting any softball questions from me today.
I wouldn't expect any softball questions from you, Martin, and I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Okay. Listening to the local news here this morning, and I appreciate this is quite topical, but I couldn't help but be struck by the repeated use of the phrase fake news. We're sitting here in 2019. One of the trending topics or questions of our time is about related topics like the rise in fraud, increasing cybercrime, fake news, false data, hacked accounts, etc., etc. And your company, Daon, is slap bang in the middle of that maelstrom and helping to solve and answer some of these questions. How do you address these issues with your customers and consumers? What are they looking for and how do you think about it?
Thanks, Martin. It certainly is an interesting time. In regards to your question, it's maybe not what you think. It's not just about security, all that, though that's part of it. It's about trust and how a consumer feels. Professionals, such as those employees that make up Daon and those with a background in the field of security, think about security as a process. We use terms like risk analysis or probabilities or threat vectors or private keys. But when it comes down to a consumer, security is truly an emotion. It's an emotion filled with frustration and anxiety and worry and annoyance. And these are the words that customers often describe security as. And often those words are negative. They also have a sense of relief when they get through a security system, whether it be a security system that protects airlines at a TSA checkpoint, or a password or PIN-based security system to get access to your online account. So we must develop security systems that consumers love and trust, or it's all for naught and they simply won't adopt it.
Tom, you're talking about very profound concepts like trust. I'm a very simple, practical guy, and this raises questions in my head because surely aren't consumers all different with different needs? How can you address that as a company?
Well, that's quite right, Martin. While security may be a motion to consumers, that certainly doesn't mean they all want the same things. If you think back to your 101 level basic marketing business class in college, we recognize and everybody accepts that customers in different segments have different preferences. And if we jump forward to today, we know that our digital security strategy also has to recognize that there's different preferences with different customers. McKinsey did a study back in the dark ages of 2016, and they identified three primary groups of customers. Those that wanted minimal security and wanted super convenience, those that wanted clear steps of security, and those that were in the middle, striking a balance between the two extremes. And we've learned and seen this from our customers around the world that there are different preferences that exist across those different customers. In certain cases, a selfie or a fingerprint or a voice authentication may be perfect and appropriate and establishes trust. Other customers may simply prefer to use behavioral or what we'd call silent biometrics, where we measure how their phone is held or how much pressure they put on a keyboard to establish that same trust. And so it's really about tailoring that digital security experience for each individual customer. That's the future.
Tom, everyone admits that security technology is needed and good, but probably the thing they don't admit as openly is that it's also a hassle. It's an annoyance. How do you get over that hurdle?
Well, Martin, certainly there's no doubt that account origination and authentication are high-value tasks. Our customers around the world often start this journey with us focused on enhanced security, trying to provide better security protections for their customers or members. And they obviously want to reduce fraud. This journey then leads to other benefits associated with biometrics. The difficulty or ease that our customers make it for their consumers to both set up accounts and then authenticate themselves can represent 30 to 40% of their overall net promoter score. A net promoter score is a measure of customer satisfaction that's accepted around the world. So this is a hugely important variable for customers because it conveys the loyalty that a consumer will have to the companies they interact with. Other customers find that their consumers that interact with them online will spend one third more. And so if you can derive greater revenues by making it easier to interact online, it's especially valuable for companies. We also found that 86% of consumers who experience biometrics and Dayon's IdentityX technology find that the company's brand name is overwhelmingly more innovative. And this is very high ground for companies to try and position themselves as innovative companies delivering the best technology to their consumers. And then finally, basics such as reducing operating cost tied with things such as password reset and all those frustrations of call center authentication can take 45 seconds. If you can do it in a near instantaneous manner, consumers love it and it saves money. So all these metrics are a powerful part of the customer's business case. I can't recall a single vendor anywhere in the world who said, I can't afford to do this. Most would say, I can't afford not to do this.
Tom, one of the things I hear you talking about within the company is about tone and the positive and negative sides of that. Can you explain to me what you mean by that?
Sure. I can give you a personal example, too. I was preparing for a CNBC Squawk Box interview up in New York, and I wanted to prepare and get accustomed to the format of the interview. There's three co-anchors that are there for CNBC Squawk Box, and so I was on elliptical trainer in the morning, launched my CNBC app through Verizon, but I had to authenticate with a password, and so I'm in the midst of exercise and trying to authenticate, and I couldn't remember it after three times, and I had to reset my password. And each time I tried to authenticate with an incorrect password, I got this stark message, failure to authenticate. So I was obviously failing as a customer to authenticate, okay, which is part of the tone, is how do we help our customers and feel good about what they're trying to do, even if they're not always successful trying to do it. Ultimately, I got in it and I watched it successfully, but it took a lot more time. If I had any choice other than to go to my current telco provider to do that, I would have gone to a different channel and abandoned my efforts immediately. So I think a friction-filled experience, that's not one the consumer will tolerate. Companies have to be laser-focused on the convenience and the simplicity of the experience. And then the problems that I mentioned carried on through the whole day because my family also uses my telco provider to get different things such as Netflix and HBO Go, and they all are dependent on that same password. And so all of them progressively through the day were shut out because I reset the password. I didn't remember it because I was in the middle of exercise and I never shared it with them. So again, there was this failure on the part of the consumer. So being known in one channel and then to try and do something else with that same company in another channel, being treated as a complete stranger, definitely doesn't feel cool, and there's no way that's going to be tolerable in the future with the choice that customers have.
Tom, you've been in this business a long time now. What do you see is next for your company and for this industry sector?
Well, sure. It's an exciting time as a CEO and for all the people that are part of Dayon, and we only have some of the answers. I guess it would be boring if we knew everything and there wasn't a little adventure every day that we had. What I can tell you that is we jump forward and go through an exercise of looking 10 years in advance and then stepping back. There's four major trends that stand out to me. One that's undeniable is a customer is laser focused on convenience and they're incredibly intolerant of friction. We accept that, we embrace it, we know that's what the future holds. The second major trend is that cyber threats present a dim picture of the future. Yet we also know that the most recent threat can't be met with more barriers. We have to find a better way to deal with it. The third big market force is that the power is shifting from the enterprise to the consumer, and this is largely being enabled by technology. the customer can shop where they want. They can compare products at their convenience. They can evaluate pricing options whenever they want. So while in the past there may have been a disproportionate amount of power in the hands of the enterprise, I see this shift occurring to the consumer. And companies that embrace that shift have the opportunity to do really well. And the fourth thing really ties back to the fact that everybody recognizes the mobile phone as a tool that has fundamentally altered the way consumers interact. But if we think of the mobile phone in it as a device, I see the future as much less about devices and physical things such as a mobile phone. I think that the term would be ambient computing. We'll have sensors nearly everywhere, whether it be in our table, in the walls, in our vehicles, and we will on demand be able to ask for anything we want as a consumer. If the consumer wants it, they simply need to ask for it, and we'll use technologies, whether they be physical biometrics, your face, your voice, your finger, or behavioral biometrics, to authenticate that it's really you, and then that request will be acted upon. So much in the same way that electricity was adopted 100 years ago, it was introduced, the first use case was to light lamps. If we jump forward to biometrics, the first use case may have been to unlock my mobile phone, but we're going to see such a widespread applications of the technology with the adoption of the Internet of Things that I think ambient computing and biometrics will play extremely well into that. And so those would be the four trends that I see that will shape our industry for the next 10 years.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. Certainly an interesting area to talk through with you today, Tom, and we'll continue to keep an eye on it. And thanks for chatting with us today.
My pleasure, Martin. Thank you.
I hope you, the listener, also found it useful. And if you'd like to hear more on this topic or indeed on Daon and its products, please feel free to email us at info@daon.com. And you'll also find lots of information on our website at www.daon.com. So thank you for listening.